The healthcare detective Frank Lalle has written a book for Simon & Schuster about how to get affordable healthcare. Called Your Best Healthcare Now, it is available online, in-store, wherever fine, and I mean fine, books are sold. Mr. Lalle is also the health correspondent for Parade and the former editor of Money and George magazines. Hello, Frank.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, you know, healthy. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm on my way to PT, which I've been doing now for 2 months, but it's very helpful. Everything's good. Everything's good except sort of the mood in the country and certain moves, political moves we need to talk about today. What we have to talk about is repeal and relapse. That's my name for President Trump's latest effort to kill the entire Affordable Care Act without a plan to replace it. So he's saying the Republicans will be the party of health insurance, and I'm saying this is the party with no health insurance plan. So if he did that, if he managed to roll back the entire Affordable Care Act, healthcare in the United States would relapse to the mess it was 9 years ago before the Affordable Care Act became the law of the land. Without the Affordable Care Act, employers could once again impose annual and lifetime limits on how much they chip in on your expensive treatments for things like chronic conditions like diabetes or even cancer. Insurance companies could again refuse to enroll you because of a pre-existing condition, and that includes asthma, arthritis, even high blood pressure. They just refuse to enroll you. That can leave you sick, untreated, and worse, dead broke, paying doctor bills. And insurers could accept you, welcome aboard, but charge exorbitant rates like $10,000 a month, $15,000, $20,000, sky's the limit. Or even worse, the insurers could enroll you, pocket your monthly premiums, but then refuse to pay for the treatments for your pre-existing conditions. And that would include cancer. So you'd have health insurance without the benefits to keep you alive. Plus,
oh, that's good.
This is all good. This is what happens when, this is what we had 9 years ago. That's why we passed the Affordable Care Act. That was a big reform of the health insurance industry in this country and set standards that Trump is now trying to tear down. But it doesn't just end with just health and your health insurance plan or your plan at work. Medicare premium costs would rise. People would also have to pay more for their checkups with Medicare. More people would land into the, you know, terrible, dreadful, expensive donut hole. I mean, who likes the donut hole? I mean, Dunkin's doesn't even like the donut hole. I mean, this is not good, folks. And efforts to reverse our opioid crisis, that's the real crisis in this country, they would decline. And plans to cut drug costs with cheap generics would stall. So let's add up the damage. Because of pre-existing conditions alone, over 25% of people between the ages of 18 and 64 would lose their health insurance. More than 25%, more than one out of four. Bottom line, more than 75 million people would lose their health insurance. So Jill, that means tens of thousands of people would die before their time, especially in rural areas, poor rural areas of Trump country, like large parts of Kentucky and West Virginia, for example. For every 1,000 who lose their health insurance, one person dies prematurely. So picture a sold-out crowd at the Rose Bowl. If Trump kills the Affordable Care Act, every one of them dies. Representative Tom Reed of New York, he's a Republican. Here's what he said. Not only is this a poor political move, this decision hurts real people. We need to fix healthcare, not blow it up. And Andy Slavitt, he's on the left, right? He ran Medicare for President Obama. Here's what he said. People who care about public health don't do this. People who care about the rule of law don't do this. But I'll tell you this, Joe, perversely, there's some good news in this. I think President Trump's repeal and relapse is so horrendous, I doubt it will ever happen. Trump has gotten his Department of Justice, you know, Bill Barr's Department of Justice, to support a far-out lawsuit claiming the Affordable Care Act is unconstitutional. Republicans have signed that twice already, and this is a third time around. but experts on the left and right. Even the Wall Street Journal editorial page that hates Obamacare say the suit will rattle around the courts this year and finally get rejected by the Supreme Court. In other words, Trump's repeal and relapse is a sure loser. That leaves political experts, again, on the left, on the right, wherever you stand, they're saying things like, look, Trump's obsession with killing President Obama's Affordable Care Act is nothing short of political madness. So the more Trump has attacked the Affordable Care Act, the more he attacks it, the more it's become popular. Repeal is widely unpopular. So, Joe, you got to listen to these statistics. Now, 50% now approve of the Affordable Care Act. That's the highest number ever. And you know who opposes it? The number that opposes it? 39%. Does that ring a bell? That's sort of the level of Trump's support approval rating in the country now, around 39%. So you got 50% say the Affordable Care Act is working for me, and you got 39% saying, no, we'd oppose it because we stand with Trump. Plus, specific provisions are even more popular, and even with Republicans. So 82%, that includes 66% of Republicans, two out of three, want kids to be covered to age 26. 81%, including 80% of Republicans, want to close the donut hole. Donut hole is taking a beating here. 77%, including 55% of Republicans, want Medicaid expanded for the poor. And 87%, that includes half of the Republicans, want pre-existing conditions covered, no loopholes, cover pre-existing conditions, no backdoor deals. But in this, I have to say this, Jill, in this dreadful period of divided government, I think very, very little is likely to happen before next year's elections. So we've heard a lot about Medicare for All. So you're going to hear progressive Democrats more and more talking about Medicare for All. And Republicans will continue to dismiss it as way too expensive socialism. It's not exactly socialism, but they're going to say it is. And they're going to have a strong argument about tax increases to make it possible. I don't see that going anywhere. Moderate Democrats will look for alternatives, and you'll hear phrases like Medicare for More, Medicare for America, that's Beto O'Rourke's phrase, the public option. Look, whatever moderate Democrats call it, the idea boils down to this. They want to allow people to buy into Medicare, and including, perhaps, bosses would be able to offer Medicare for their workers. That's an interesting idea. That could expand a number of people in Medicare very quickly, and rather than a private health insurance plan. Hospitals, I think, will go along because, you know, it's more federally subsidized customers. I think that's fine with them. Doctors are going to fret about low Medicare payments, but they'll be divided on it. Here's the problem. You get the powerful insurance industry. They don't want the new competition from Medicare. Dave, you're getting your hand in my pocket here. Get away from me. Meanwhile, Democratic leaders like Nancy Pelosi will pass bills in her house to lower insurance premiums, greatly increase Affordable Care Act subsidies, and ban junk insurance plans. Those are those plans that don't cover the Affordable Care Act's essential benefits, including, you know, little stuff like prescription drugs, maternity care, drug abuse treatment, pre-existing conditions. I mean, you get the picture. These are insurance plans that don't insure you. But I doubt any of Pelosi bills to shore up the Affordable Care Act will get through the Republican-controlled Senate, let alone get signed by President Trump. I don't see it today anyway. However, there is a sweet spot. There is a chance that lawmakers could agree on bills to lower drug costs. Now, I'm not sure exactly how this is going to fall out, but they could allow Medicare to finally negotiate drug prices directly with the drug makers, or if it isn't Medicare itself, it could be a new government group that does the negotiating. That's out there and it's being discussed. Or perhaps, and this is an idea Trump has supported, if he remembers that he has, you got him on the team, his idea, one of these ideas, is to peg the very high drug costs, this cancer drug costs that can go $18,000, $20,000 a month, to peg those costs to international prices, which would be half that, maybe even less. So if they could agree on some of these lowering drug costs bills, the Senate might go along, because that's 2020, that's an election year, about 20 Republicans are up for re-election. They'd want to be able to say, hey, look at what we did to get your drug costs lower, help you with your health care. They could go along, and President, you can imagine President Trump signing it. And again, he's up for re-election, right? And if he, this I'll guarantee you, if he signs it, he's going to take all the credit. He's going to say nothing. This wouldn't happen if I didn't fight for America. So, Jill, that's the state of the play right now. What do you think?
I think that nothing will keep on happening. But what I would love to spend time decoding along the way is what the various – the actual definitions of Medicare for all, Medicare for some.
Sure.
You know, and that's
Medicare for all is very simple. I mean, in its starkest terms, you scrap the private health insurance. I mean, there's no insurance at work any longer. That's 155 million people getting it that way. You can't buy private insurance. Essentially, it would outlaw private insurance. And instead, you would just enroll for Medicare the way you do when you turn 65. And then the government, you know, covers 80% of your costs. There'll be an opening for an insurance industry, but it'll be a supplemental insurance to cover, you know, the other 20% that the government won't be paying. But it's as simple as that. Medicare for More, or Medicare for America, which is Beto O'Rourke's phrase, or even the public option, that means you have a choice, right? You still have private health insurance. You might have insurance at work. It's up to you, but you have a choice. You can enroll in Medicare if you like. The part of that that really appeals to me is allowing employers to sign up their workforce for Medicare, because Medicare insurance in many cases is far better than the insurance available at work, especially in smaller companies. You work for a big corporation, fine, you're probably much better off there. But if you work for a smaller company, look, there are people working in this country, you know, who are signing up for Medicaid because they aren't paid enough and there's no health insurance that is available to them. So allowing a boss to essentially allow the government to cover the workers with Medicare, right, 80% plan, that sounds pretty good to me. So now, there's something else going on in the courts, too, which is another reason I don't think this repeal and relapse is going to get very far. The courts are striking down one Trump move after another. In red states, the governors have refused to expand Medicaid for the poor.
Right.
Refused to expand it, but have also said to continue to get Medicaid, you have to work or be looking for work. This is a work requirement. Obama would not allow the states to do this. Trump has invited the states to do this, but the courts have stepped in and said,
"You can't.
No way.
Yep.
That's undermining Medicaid. It's supposed to help the poor get health insurance,
not take it away from them."
Yeah, yeah. So this just it happened in Kentucky. Happened in Arkansas. You know. In Arkansas, 18,000 people lost their insurance, you know, overnight. The state, how do you come up with plans like this? The state said, okay, you have to prove that you're working or that you're looking for work. There's only one way you can do that. You got to submit a form online. Well, guess what?
Not everyone has computers. No, but
not only that, libraries. The
right.
Local library didn't have it. So yeah, they're just inviting poor people at the end of their rope to jump through a hoop.
Of course, we are running out of time. But that very point that you made is not just and it is key. It is not just relevant to healthcare. Many of the things that are passed down can simply not be executed practically once it comes out of the genii who have come up with it. And that is something that a lot of people really need to learn about.
Yeah, you have to realize that, you know, I'm not trying to help you with your health care. I'm actually putting hurdles in front of you to make it difficult for you to do it. And who am I doing that to? I'm doing it to the most vulnerable, sick and older and poorer people. I'm making it harder for you to get health insurance. So when Trump stands up and says the Republican Party is going to be the party of health care, this is the party of no health care unless you pay for it yourself. This is a party where health care is a privilege. It is not a basic human right. I think that is, yeah, I'd love to say that is un-American, but our system right now with health care does not recognize the basic human right to health care. And I think, Jill, and this is, I'll end on a high note here. I think in a very few years, that is going to become the law of the land. We might have to wait for 2021 or 2022, but I think it's coming. And this government, this country, this society will finally say, you know what? Health care is a basic human right to every American.
Thank you, Frank, the healthcare detective and the health correspondent for Parade. Send your questions or concerns about finding affordable health care to healthcaredetective@robinhoodradio.com. Frank will try to address as many of your questions as he can on future broadcasts. And, of course, look for his book, Your Best Healthcare Now, available online in stores.